The lesson for this morning is the second reading. Why do you think the scriptures tells us so many things about the behavior of others? One, the behaviors to avoid, okay? And two, the behaviors to imitate. And it's simple, because that's how we learn. When you're walking, especially in a crowded sidewalk in Yokohama, Japan, and there's an uneven edge of the concrete slabs, right? And someone's going along and next thing you know, they trip. It's really interesting to see how many people noticed, and you'll see them taking a step. And then how many people were like, La La Land with their head, and they did the same thing. And then they look around to see if anybody noticed and if anybody did as bad as they did. And when they see other people avoiding it, they go, well, I guess I should have done that. In today's readings and the combination of all three lessons, we are reminded why, one, we are to be watchful. Okay? Two, we are reminded what we are watching for. And three, we are reminded of the end. What happens at the end of it all? And so why be watchful? First of all, God sent his son. And you and I are baptized into that Lord Jesus Christ, the one Savior of us all. And we're united with him. And we're given new life with him. And so we die with him, we rise with him, and we live with him in our heart, we believe in him. But the question is, now what? And so the Bible talks about the Lord Jesus in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And in the New Testament, you especially hear of how he treated those who were kind of snippy with him. How he treated those that everybody else thought, oh, they are the lowest of life forms. You know, the publicans, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, they had social statuses and some were way down here and some thought they were way up here. And Jesus in his life shows us how we are to treat and how we are to love one another. But then, as the disciples went out, and as Paul himself, one of the apostles, goes out, they too have the same faith. And they too got to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul had an encounter with Christ in a vision. And through the power of the word, he receives Christ. And Paul says, yes, be imitators of me, only because I'm imitating, I'm doing what Christ taught. So when he talks about by the authority, it's in a sense, you could paraphrase it, because of our connection with the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what we do. This is how we live. So Paul's not trying to say, do this, do that, and then not do anything proper himself. You ever known anybody like that? They tell you what to do. They tell you what you should have done. But their life is a mess. Now, I know none of you are that way, so just don't worry about that. But then, you know, there are those kinds of people in the world. And what happens is that, you know, we learn not to copy them. We learn there's no real good example. And so Paul was talking to the people, in a sense, in this epistle, communicating with them. And he says, this is how we live. And so just to review it with me, you can follow along. Now, we command you, brothers, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you. Nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor, we worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have the right, but to give you and ourselves an example to imitate. And so what Paul is encouraging is that people walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that people begin to realize that as we look at one another, we begin to see, what is it like to walk with Jesus? How do you do this thing to live by faith and face the kinds of challenges that people face? I mean, to deal with unemployment, to deal with hunger, to deal with pestilence, to deal with famine, to deal with war. You heard the kinds of things that were named, right? To deal with destruction, to deal with natural disasters, to deal with all of that. How are we to walk by faith? And I remember a while back, you know, that WWJD, what would Jesus do, right? And a lot of people had the bracelets with that on or any other way to model that. And they were thinking, how would Jesus respond and what would he want us to do in these circumstances? Well, Paul makes it really close and personal. We learn what Christ would do through our fellow believers. Because maybe, whether you're not like me or not, I know how to read. I know how to follow directions. But boy, do I appreciate when somebody shows me. Are any of you like that? Boy, do I appreciate it when I see an example. Because some things, when you read about it, it just doesn't always connect. But when you see it, when you see it in action and you behold it, what a difference that makes. And so the message to the early church was, we're in a tough time, and it's going to get rougher. There's going to be persecution. The temple is going to be destroyed. And that did take place already. And, you know, it talks about how wars and rumors of wars and pestilence and famine, and those things have happened more than once, right, in world history. And on and on. And it says, how do we make it through the day? How do we hold on? And the message is, one, to look to Christ. Two, to encourage one another by our own example. When I think of you, I think of all the things that I know about you, where you have gone through things in life I haven't had, but you have learned and you have struggled and you have overcome. Did you ever have messes? Yes. But did you persevere even after that? When Christ forgives you and restores you and strengthens you, are you not a different person now than when you were little? It's made you stronger, and it wasn't easy. And what God encourages the family of the faith to do, to learn from one another. And one of the things we learn is what not to do. And Paul identified one of them, and that is to be idle. Now, I don't know why they were idle. I read one comment that they thought the end was coming. Now, if I announced, I'm not a prophet in that way, but if I announced the end is coming this Wednesday, what would you do differently between now and Wednesday? And in an informal Bible study discussion, I once heard, shop. And put it all on a charge card. Because they'll never collect. Okay? Another one said, well, I wouldn't go to work. I'd gather my family around me, remind them I love you, and we would do something fun together. And another one said, I'd sit in church, because that would be the best place to be. It won't stop the end, but that's where I want God to find me. And another had, and they all had these all kinds of ideas. Well, in that day, it is possible in the text, some just said, well, I'm going to stop. It ain't worth doing anything. If the end's coming, I'm going to be idle. And their idleness caused issues because now they became dependent on others, what they could have done for themselves. And Paul says, don't do that. Christ knew he was going to go to the cross. Was he ever idle? Did he ever give up? Did he ever stop? He had a mission to accomplish. And Paul says the church today has a mission. It is to proclaim Christ as Lord, to live in the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing to be idle about. And that together, and he talks about this in other places, about how we are the body of Christ, all members of it, and how we work together for the sake of the mission and for the sake of the body, caring for one another. And I've seen ways in which you carry and care for one another. But I've also seen ways in which any one of us have been idle, where what we could have done for ourselves, we expect others to do. And I'll give you a simple one. It's amazing how many drink cups are left around this place at the end of a day. It's just real simple. Just real simple. It's amazing per week how many beverage containers are left around the building per week. And sometimes I start to take it personal. My skin gets a little thin and I think, they must think that I am the paid janitor. Or Gwen is the volunteer janitor. Okay? And it's so easy to pick up after yourself. That's just a simple thing. Something you can do for the sake of this building, for the sake of the others, even for my time usage. So I tried it one Sunday. Y'all don't know this, but I'm going to let the cat out of the bag. I left a container. I did not pick it up. Now, I wasn't trying to be mean, like I'm too big and I'm too proud to do that. It was just a test. I was curious how long that cup would sit there. It sat there 3 weeks. Yeah, the container was 3 weeks out in the open and it was there. It was amazing. The idleness that Paul's talking about is not about a coffee cup or a beverage container. It was an idleness of the faith. It was something even more important. Mine was just petty. Do you understand? Idleness of the faith. They stopped serving. They stopped praising. They stopped praying. They stopped reading the word. They quit. And he reminds them how dangerous that is. Even when you get an idea in your head, the end is near, it's not the time to quit. It is a time to persevere. It is a time to rejoice. It is a time to hold on. It is a time to celebrate the life in Christ. It is a time to proclaim the victory. It isn't a time to do nothing. It is a time to continue the journey all the way until Christ shows up. And even then, I'm not sure what my job will be, but even then it talks about God's people in heaven having something to do, praising him, you know, something to do. I will, and you will not be idle in heaven. How many of you can't wait till retirement where you can sit down and do nothing? Well, the news about heaven is you don't get to do nothing. And you don't get to golf all the time or play basketball or watch video games or, you know, it's not the earthly stuff. It's the divine stuff. And what a day that will be. Paul is encouraging you to recognize that people are watching you, young and old alike. And they watch how you deal with failure, and they watch how you glory in success. They watch how faith sustains you when life is not easy. They watch you, and they learn from you. Some of you have been here long enough. Do you remember Teresa Schilling? Long time ago. Of course, I was the new pastor here at the time, and she was ill. And she came to church, and it was painful. It was awful. It hurt. And she came to church. And I remember someone telling me at least once, if Teresa could be here, so can I. Because all I've got is a little bit of soreness. It's nothing compared to Teresa. Do you understand? All your drama can either work for Christ or against Christ. It can serve to glorify Him, or it can put yourself in the attention-seeking mode. God didn't call you to get the attention. He called you to give glory to God. Is that true? Oh, y'all look certain about that one. Is that true?
Yes.
There we go. Yeah. It is true. And this is the message that Paul gives us. Recognize that people are watching you. Now, I'm not going to ask you if you go to the mall and you're a people watcher, you know, what people are wearing and how they walk and how they talk and all that. We do that. But this is about the example of faith. One of the leadership principles that John Maxwell tells us as pastors, he says, your members will learn more about you when you fail, fall flat on your face, and what you do next than all the great things you ever accomplish. And I want to repeat that to you. Your children will learn more about you when you have failed. Your grandchildren will learn more about you when you have failed. Your fellow members will learn more about you and your walk with God when you have failed. And a little bit ago, you confessed that you had failed. It's called, I have sinned. And God restored you through the words of forgiveness. The absolution is how Christ has picked you up to keep going. And we have a mission. It is to serve the Lord. It is to praise His name. It is to care for one another. We have a mission. And that mission will be ongoing until Christ comes on this earth. And may we be found faithful. Amen.